Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey, it's the Flash After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we're breaking down Season 2, Episode 22, called Invisible, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, hello. It's the AfterBuzz TV Flash After Show. Tonight we're doing Invisible, the penultimate episode. Can you guys believe it?
It was a thriller.
Sure.
It's a knockout drag.
It was a punch in the face.
I would have called it a thriller, but we can talk about
Gee
it.
Gee willikers.
Guys, the whole panel's here. We're excited to be back. Let's do some intros. I'll kick it off. I'm Jeffrey Masters. I tweet from JeffMasters1.
I'm Michael Drew. I tweet from Michael_Drew, Michael E-A-L.
I'm Tari J. Miller. You can find me at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. And people already in the chat are blowing up, and they want us to know it's Invincible.
What did I say?
Invisible?
Invisible.
They're the same word.
But a lot of times when you're invincible, you're not invisible.
Thank you for sticking up for
and
me.
And that's how you got that.
Thank you, Roxy. And thank you to the chat for correcting me. Yeah. If you're watching live, we tape at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. Nope. What specific standard?
What time zone are we in? Pacific Daytime.
Pacific Daytime.
Daylight time.
About 9 o'clock on the West Coast. If you want to chat, get in there. Roxy's going to read your comments. And we love hearing from you guys. Tweeting with you. Subscribing on YouTube, iTunes, the whole shadeel. Let's get to it. We have a very big episode to discuss, the penultimate. As I said, it was not feeling like a penultimate episode to me until the very final scene, which I'd love to discuss right now.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Allen was taken away, mm-hmm. and special, I don't know why I'm beating around the bush. He died.
He did.
They killed him.
Yep.
It's gone.
What are our thoughts? Were we expecting this? What do we think was going to happen?
I mean, we were expecting it. We called it last week, but I thought they're going to do next week. I thought it was going to be season finale, death, and that was going to happen. But
mm-hmm.
I like that it was this episode, though, because it, like, especially because we had Barry being all happy-go-lucky the whole episode.
Yeah.
Just to have him end on this new sour note gives him more drive. So I really enjoyed that. Also, yeah, of course he was dead.
Yeah,
like he's like, I'm gonna stick around. I'm gonna be your dad forever. Yeah. It's like, come on, buddy.
Yeah. Once we said that he was gonna stay, it was like, oh, so now he has to leave. That's such a bummer because that's the way television works. And also, I think he's too busy. There's a reason he hasn't been on the show the whole time. So yeah, I knew he was screwed too. And you guys brought up that point last week, and I think I sat here and vocalized that I agreed. So I can stand on this side for sure.
Yeah, totally.
I knew this was coming the whole time.
She felt it.
Brilliant.
When you say he was busy, are you saying the actor?
Yeah, I think that he's busy. I think he's working. And I think that he... And, yeah, I also don't know if he wants to be on another The Flash again.
I don't know what he is or is not doing, but I think that if they want him as a series regular, they could sign him in a heartbeat. I just think it doesn't make sense for the show.
Really?
And I guess it will never make sense because now he's gone. Unless there's some trickery and they go back in time.
So we had a long conversation about this last week, and I am on the complete opposite side of the fence of you. I think he made the most sense for this show. But
really?
Yeah. You guys can go back and listen to that.
Yeah.
I watched it, and just know that I don't agree.
Yep. Okay, that's cool.
I think that also...
Neither did the writers, apparently.
Yeah. I mean, it made sense to kill him off versus anybody else, because the show, I would have rioted in the street had they killed off Joe West.
Yeah.
The show wouldn't have... They couldn't do that, such a beloved character. And Henry Allen is such a symbol. And to kill off a symbol who is a massive part of the show without being in every episode kind of makes more sense for the viewers.
Did they necessarily have to kill someone, though? I mean, I thought...
Yes, because that's trendy now for TV, and they kill off everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it brings in stakes as well. I mean, Henry Allen, especially in this episode, because we had that scene with him and Barry, where Barry was like, you haven't been around! And, like, he had to kind of face the fact that he's an absentee father.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And now we have to, like, live in that. Yeah. So, I mean, I felt like it was relevant.
And it kind of sucks because he was so, in my mind, he was so optimistic this episode. I'm like, yeah, it's like he read The Secret. He was so positive. And it's like they reward his positivity with murdering his dad. I'm like, damn, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn. You know?
What you like, son?
I'm like, I was like, huh.
I just feel like tonight we got that moment where Barry was like, you haven't been here, so you don't get to judge me. And that is so true. And you decided to leave for one reason or another, because you thought you would help or you would hurt or whatever it was, because you were in jail and unjustly so. There are a million excuses. I'm not just calling them excuses. They were out of his control, some of them, and some of them were not. That's what I want to see. That is what I wanted to see. Barry say, you have not been here. And the dad say, I'm being here the best I can. And then us to actually see his dad freaking step in. Do I want to see Joe keep parenting him? No, because West Allen for life. And I can't have them have the same father this whole time.
Yeah.
Although that's what we're going to see. So, you know, I think that they made the wrong choice. I don't want him gone. I think that he had so much story left to be told.
You say choice. Are you saying in between Joe and Henry Allen, you would have picked Joe to be killed off? Who was the choice for you?
No, I'm saying I think they made the wrong choice killing off...
anybody.
Killing Henry Allen off. I didn't say that we needed to kill somebody else off. You said it was trendy. I don't care if it's trendy or not, you know?
It's trendy, and Greg Berlanti was named TV Producer of the Year in The Hollywood Reporter in the massive long interview, and he said that shows need new energy and they need to change things up. And
I so, agree, yes, but this guy's not even... die. He's not even on our show. But yeah. Changing how, it up would be bringing him onto our show.
Right.
Okay, that's a great point.
So yeah. I think that... we didn't need to kill somebody. I think that, you know, sometimes you really have to switch things up, especially when a tone is getting a little stale. I don't know what their relationship is like. I don't know what he would have been like with Christina McGee. I don't know why we spent any time on him and Christina McGee vibing this episode, pun intended, because we're never going to see him again. Unless this thing is a complete swerve and we see scenes from next week and there's a funeral and it's not actually Henry Allen, which I think is very unlikely. Mm. But, I mean, we didn't actually see him drop to the floor and die, so...
Right.
Well, I think that was just a good writing fake-out. Because this whole episode, you saw Wells collapse and then you saw her, Henry falling in love with someone. So it completely, you know, lowered your expectations of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Then... bam, they, you know, Game of Thrones you.
I think that the writers can be a little too, like, clean in their, like, reversals, and so we can sniff it out right away. Mm-hmm. When he says, I'm going to stay around for so long, we automatically say, ah, yeah. Oh, crap, he's out of here. And so as if they were did it a little, like, less cleanly, you know, mm-hmm. I think it would, like, maybe affect us a little bit more because we're not expecting it so hard.
You have to think about what they're trying to do here, what they're trying to... provide or encourage or make us feel or make Barry feel what this is supposed to push forward for us. And I'm not exactly sure that they would be able to answer that question. And maybe they would, and I trust these writers and I trust these producers. So, you know, I don't know right now where they're going. But they make this decision because they want to end up somewhere. Now, I'm not privy to that. But I can't imagine that Barry would need to lose his dad in order to catapult him into the next level of something. He's already lost his mom. He already just went to SFP. He already has all of these things that have happened, even with Jay and Zoom and being ragged all around and dying. And all of these things are happening. Does he really have to lose his dad in order for that to be the catalyst for him to do something great? I don't think so.
That's fair. I completely agree. I think that's a really great point.
So we'll have to see. Maybe they might have something in mind that they're like that. This is the reason they're doing that. I don't know.
Yeah. Going back to the topic of Barry's new like point of view. when he said the line of, what did he say? The universe is with us. How could we possibly lose? I thought that we were just going to let that pass and like be okay with this. I'm so happy that everybody was hounding him like, what are you talking about?
Well, because when did Barry Allen become a hippie child? Yeah. Like, it was so funny. I wanted to put a flower crown on his head and just put him in the meadow somewhere.
With that Snapchat filter.
Yes. That Snapchat filter, though.
I was just like, Barry, who are you getting this from?
Though, I will say, and I think it's funny that it stands out because that's kind of the hero mentality that, like, you can do all things and you know, you're invincible because you have faith in yourself and your team has faith in you. And so the fact that it kind of sticks out as, like, a weird character trait is funny to me because we've dealt with, like, a very angsty Barry this whole series. And now that we have, like, really confident Barry who's trying his best, we're like, hey, someone needs to talk to this guy.
And they get on him about both. Like, when he was angsty, they were getting on him about it. Like, man, you got to calm down. You know, it'll be okay. Right. And then when he's super positive, they're like, hey, man, everyone's pulling him aside. Hey, you got to be afraid sometimes.
Yeah, that is true, but happy medium, you know.
Right.
There's somewhere in between where you can't be. He's so confident right now that he's cocky in their abilities. And when you get cocky in your abilities, apparently your dad ends up dead. So it's like, you know, you got to. Well, I don't mean that meanly, but, like, look what just happened. He felt very, very confident. He went into this, and he needs some confidence in order to defeat it. But then they're sitting down, and they know that Zoom went back to Earth, too. They know he's not dead. And what do? They're like, all right, family dinner time. Everybody's chilled out. And I get you need a place to relax. And I get you need to have fun sometimes. And I get you can't stress every moment, all the time, whatever it is. But, like, nothing was wrong.
But that wasn't him. They surprised him. That wasn't him.
What do you mean?
They surprised him with the dinner.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't because of Barry. Like, Barry didn't.
I think Roxy's point is, though, like, why are we even, like, having the happy dinner now? Why not wait a week till after we defeat Zoom?
Yeah, he's there, and he's on Earth, too. And we didn't need Vibe. We didn't need Cisco to be able to see that, to know that Zoom's on Earth, too. We know he went back through. So we know he, however he did that, I'm unsure still. It's a little unclear how he.
Yeah.
And I think that the story allows for these, like, family dinners to happen because we have 23 episodes and there's so much time. I just have to wonder, had there been even 20 episodes, had it been more, like, condensed of story, you know, would we, like, allow for time for that kind of thing?
Well, I heard I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I hope get in trouble.
So yes. Oh, I'm excited.
I heard a rumor, maybe this is online too, so I don't get in trouble, that CW is cutting their episode amount.
Do you know by how many?
So if you're like 23, you're going down to around 16.
Wow.
Okay.
That is something that I
can't confirm.
Read somewhere.
I think that's a great thing that they would do.
That is fitting, though. That is good.
And they have a lot of shows coming back. So, you know, everybody was talking about how CW barely dropped anything. And now, of course, we've got news about CW adding things to us.
Right.
So it's like, I think that it's smart and really put your budget into those shows.
Yeah.
If that's what they're doing.
I think that 23 is just, like, feels outdated now. When we have our 8 and 10 episode series. And I think that when you have as many breaks as we had too, it, like, lets people drain off. I don't think the quality of the show, like, waned that drastically, but I think having, like, so many breaks, it kind of made me think, like, this is still going.
Yeah,
I get it. There are, like, 3-week periods in between where, you know, when you come back to watch an episode, you don't know what was going on.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
But let's get to this episode. It kicked off with the Metahumans attacking Central City. I thought that was an awesome sequence, and then we didn't see it again. You guys have better eyes than I do, though. Did you recognize any villains specifically in there?
I thought the green flamed, like, firestormy character was just the Earth 2 version of, like, a combo character named Fire.
Okay.
And that's all I've got.
Right.
And everyone else seemed new to me.
Yeah, no, they were all pretty just like, I'm a generic bad guy.
Yeah, that's what else, yeah.
Okay.
Like, I feel like they were all slightly, like, referential of different heroes, but that's no one, like, specific. Like, I mean, we had that one girl who looked exactly like Storm that was, like, shooting lightning out of her hands.
Yeah.
I mean, and before I had seen the green fire person, it looked like Green Lantern, like, pulses.
Yeah.
Okay. And then other people were just, like, in masks.
In masks.
Yeah. You're right. The guy in the car had a mask on. And I was like, where is his power?
Yeah.
We did see Bad Laurel. The Black Siren.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I wanted to open up with Black Betty and make you sing Black Siren. And because last week we made you do that too.
I would have done it.
Yeah, you would have?
Oh, I would.
I didn't want to put you on the spot 2 weeks in a row.
Hey, girl.
You got it, boy. yeah, okay. So here's the deal. Everybody knows. It's not a secret. I'm sorry. The internet is so mad at me about it. I can't even care. I've said it so many times. I do not like Laurel. I don't like the character. I don't like it. I don't know what it was. I didn't know if it was the way they wrote her, if the way that it was performed, if it was a combination, if it was just something about her that irked me. I can't even put my thumb on it. But I didn't like Laurel for any of the seasons. I think that I liked her finally a little more, and spoiler alert, then they did something to not even let me be able to write her, like her. Is that a fair thing to say?
Right. Okay. They say it in the episode.
Actual spoiler, from the episode. She dies. They killed her, finally.
They said it. Yeah, it's fine.
They killed her. So, you know, now even, I don't even have the chance to eventually like her, even though we were starting to maybe get there. But I think that Katie Cassidy is talented. I watched her on Gossip Girl. I loved her over there. And she was a villain on that show. She was evil. Now, on this show, oh my God, Black Siren is perfect for her. Yes. I am so glad that we didn't kill her off. She's chilling in the pipeline. We're going to pull her out when we need her. We are going to use her because this role was meant for her. I think she did. She knocked it out of the park. I was so glad we got to focus on her and a place for people who did like Laurel or Katie to come after she died on Arrow. People are really grieving. So smart. So typical of CW to take care of their own. Loved this. I loved her being our semi-big bad of the week. Like our, what's that called if there's a Zoom? So it's not our big bad, but it's our middle bad.
Like medium size, like a venti bad.
Yeah, like I loved her being.
Grande bad.
Venti's the big one. Yeah, grande. Yeah. She's our grande bad.
Hashtag grande bad.
Yeah, I liked her being our grande bad.
Still thinking of like Thrinta.
Yes.
Yes. no, if it helps, Roxy, I'm also in the same boat. I never liked Laurel. So you're not alone.
Yeah.
In defense of Laurel, I think she was just underutilized.
That might be true.
So, I mean, I mean, and we can talk for hours about my view and other people's view of Laurel, but like, I agree with Roxy that she killed it this episode. And I love that they basically opened the door for that. She can come back anytime that she wants. They use her for an episode, put her back in the pipeline, and she has that venue forever.
And her being able to come back anytime she wants also means she can come onto Arrow. Also means she could go into Legends. Also means that she could take a trip to a different place that's coming to CW at some point.
Yep.
She also, you guys mentioned her siren call. So much cooler.
Yes.
The canary cry.
Yes.
So I think that in Earth 2, it's like a meta-human power as opposed to being the result of like her choker. And I think that's why
it's choker
cool.
Was... that was from an Arrow thing. I was going to say that the choker was gone. But
right.
Cisco
made it in our world, right? For Arrow.
Yeah, but only made it to the frequency that it could work for
her.
So what do you think?
So I think that, like, she's had time to hone it, whereas, like, Laurel would use it on occasion if she had her choker on her, and it, like, could only do so much because it was a mechanical thing. So it's, like, it's not like she could work it like a muscle, whereas... Black Siren, it being a part of her, allowed her to harness it and make it more powerful.
You are the nicest person I've ever met. This was just better.
That is so offensive to me.
This was just better. We can say that they, whatever it is, I think that the Flash writers or the team looked at it and was like, yeah, people hated this. Like, people from that watch Arrow hated the cry. They hated it. It was awful. Really? It made no sense. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm just speaking from somebody who's like on Reddit all the time. Oh my God. I think people disliked it. So they changed it and it was better.
Right.
So you can make, you justify like it was ingrained in it, whatever.
I mean, well, I could also, from a production standpoint in that like the Flash team is more adept at visual effects because that's their bag. That's their deal. Whereas like, on Arrow, they're more practical in terms of, like, hand-to-hand combat. And so, like, it was very much out of place. And, like, even, I'm sure their teams had to try to, like, practical effect it up. So they mostly use like spark effects and like wind machines, whereas here they can utilize the waves more effectively.
Yeah.
Cool. I love that you guys are able to like share this with us, but we got to move back on to this episode.
No!
No, this is fascinating though. The first thing that Black Siren attacked was Mercury Labs. We had our Christina McBee coming back.
McGee, yeah.
McBee.
Invisible, invincible, McBee. It's fine. Okay, my question is, Zoom said that he wanted her attacking random buildings so they couldn't figure out what his master plan was. Was attacking Mercury Labs part of that plan and they're disguising it, or is that a random building that he picked? My follow-up question to that would be, what is his plan?
I think it was Henry.
I think
assassinating Henry in front of Barry was the main plan, and Mercury was part of the random buildings.
I think that's too coincidental.
I don't think that.
I'm trying to figure out like what is part of his plan and what was like a
distraction.
Distraction.
I mean, I definitely think that that Mercury was a specific target, and I think that he's building something. I mean, we've seen, not to jump too far ahead, but we see that, like, Earth 2 crumbles in some way. So I think that it's something where he's trying to merge the two Earths.
Okay.
Which would cause them both to crumble. Because
they talked about the polar. Yeah.
So do you think that this is coming back into play next episode? Because we had a lot of scene and, like, airtime devoted to the box that Barry rescued. And then we got the box back to Star Labs and we never saw it again.
Right.
I'm confused with what you're talking about right now.
The black box. Yeah.
What was the importance of that?
Oh. Well, to go back for a second answer all, because you threw out a lot of questions there.
I liked Tari's answer.
The first one, okay, then we can move on.
No, tell me, what do you think?
The first question, no way that this was random.
Right, like, absolutely not.
And they straight up said that on the show. The second thing, I think that it couldn't have possibly been his plan to take out Henry, because I think he did that as... after Barry, if he was going to do that, he would have done that from the first minute.
No. Oh, right. Okay, good.
So I think that after he saw Barry take out all of his metas, mm-hmm. I think that's what he did as like a punishment to him.
Okay.
But he says to Barry, I'm ultimately going to destroy you, but we've always known he wants to conquer the Earth. So I agree with you that he is somehow trying to merge these, especially when he talks about watching Vibe, these Earths splitting. I don't know if his plan is possible anymore because of the rest of the metahumans or whatever. So maybe now he is just trying to destroy Unearth, conquer Unearth. Or maybe he is trying to knows that Vibe can see this and is trying to get Barry to go to Earth too. So that he can try to isolate him or get Barry again or apparently race him.
Okay. I disagree with the Henry part only because he calls Barry to have the meeting with him when he puts the lightning bolt on the on the building. So when Barry comes, the main point of the conversation is the point where he's talking about how the only reason they're different is because he didn't witness his parents die. So when he kills Henry in the end, it's a call back to that conversation that he brought Barry over to specifically have.
But that can't possibly be what the box is for. That can't possibly be what, like, the plan is. I think it's,
It could be in part of the plan, then.
I think that Barry's dad dying was, like, a convenient way to, like, help further what he needed and to hurt Barry. I don't think it was, like, the main plan at all.
Well, I mean, he does want to see if Barry will become him. Like, that's something he's pushing.
Yeah, he definitely has, like, a kind of, like, Joker thing going on where he just wants to prove that they are the same person. I mean, it could... I think that it could be a combination of the two in that, like, he is trying to... was being a bitter Betty and in killing Henry Allen, but also he's going to use that to kind of bait Barry into this race, which will... Because we've seen... at least in the comics and in animation, that like people have used a race between two speedsters or two speedy people as like fuel for a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it could be that part of this whole thing where that he's baiting Barry could be to just generate energy for this plan that he has going on. Wow.
Okay. Oh my God. Do you have a prediction for later for that specifically?
Yes.
Oh my God. This is a teaser. the other thing is that, when Zoom was talking to Barry, called him over, and he said that, you're playing the hero, I'm winning. That, to me, harkens back to the problem with every superhero. you know, they need to save lives. Mm-hmm. There's like the burning bus hanging from the bridge, and then there's like the girlfriend, and then there's the villain. And I was like, ah, what do I choose? And so I love that he like put that out in the open, that there's no way you can win because you have to save the people, and I can kill anybody I want.
Right.
Yeah, that was an awesome conversation.
I thought it was awesome, too. I did really enjoy it. I've heard it before, for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was cute, but I wasn't expecting anything else. I was kind of waiting for that moment where I was like, wow, that's the thing. But we've talked about evil just to be evil is one thing. Evil with motivation is another.
Yeah.
So I thought it was a good conversation, but I wanted it to be even elevated.
See, you said we've heard it before. I haven't heard it before. I've seen it before, but I've never heard like it specifically spelled out like this is why. It's just been like the examples that were presented to us, and we can infer that.
Mm.
Before we move off of the box thing, I just had a thought. Am I reading too much into this black box? Did we just get the box to see who attacked the building, and then we found out it was Black Siren versus it having any more importance than that?
Well, I think that that's what is part of the bigger plan, though. Like, yes, that's what the box is for, but what is the bigger plan? What is exactly going on is what I thought you were asking.
Oh, I was then saying, like, specifically, like, why, what did the box tell us?
Who is doing this?
Oh, and that was that. Oh, so that's simple. That's done. Oh, never mind then. I was hoping that there was, like, some artifact or some, like, test tubes, you know, like, miraculously preserved. But that, I guess, would not be the case. Yeah. Let's jump to the Wally West stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
He's acting like a superhero. I find this so fulfilling, his, like, love for speed and his love for saving the day without actually being a superhero yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got the hero in him.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about what's going on?
I thought it was cool, but there were moments in the show where I was just saying to myself, like, I mean, I like the fact that you were seeing the inner superhero come out, but, you know, logically, just become a cop, dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, your father's a cop. You want to help people so bad. Like, you can honestly just be like, well, maybe I'll join the academy.
Yeah.
He's like, no, I'm going to be a vigilante. You know, I get it. Like, the Flash was really rubbed off on him. But I loved the little moments they had where he would just have, like, this boyish grin. Like, when he talked to the Flash or when he would save the day. And he was doing it in his, like, his Fast and the Furious car.
Yeah.
It was just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think he's getting towards the point of, like, joining the police force or something like that.
Okay.
But he's such an impetuous guy right now that, like, of course he's going to go out and do his own thing.
Yeah.
Try to, like, tackle some muggers and things.
Yeah. I'm still... my heart just needs him to still be a speedster at some point. So it's hard for me to watch this and, like, look at him wanting to be a hero. Because you guys know Wally's, like, one of my favorite characters. And I love him. And I loved him in tonight's episode. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me to be... I'm getting impatient. I'm like, okay, it's coming. But there are really no hints at it anymore. Yeah. Like, you know, the particle accelerator exploded for a second time. Here he is. Nothing's happened. We've got hints from Jesse. We've got no hints from Wally. Mm-hmm. But... I think it's awesome that this was the catalyst for Joe and Barry to have these conversations back and forth. You talked to him. No, you talked to him. No, you're his dad. And then me thinking like, oh, okay, so that means you talked to him. No, that means that this is what he's like.
Yeah,
this is who he is as a guy. So I thought that was super cool. And by the way, Wally, even without being a superhero, totally saved the day.
Were you as disappointed when he first comes in with the car and then he starts chasing the mugger and the moment he starts running, you're like, oh, is he going to speed up? And he just starts running like a normal guy. And you're like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. But we would have been like, why all of a sudden is he running fast?
I don't know. I was hoping for something.
I wasn't disappointed with that. I was disappointed that I get that Joe West, that this is his son and it's a life or death situation. But I thought in the level of priorities, this does not trump Barry Allen trying to defeat Zoom and save the planet. So when he pulled him aside from this like meeting in Star Labs to say like, hey, I need to talk to Wally, I wanted to be like, hey, we're talking about Earth 1 and 2. Like, where does he fall?
Okay, that's the CW part of that because, Jeff, I get stuck on that so much too, like Caitlin scenes where Caitlin's like, I'm just not doing okay. And I'm like, the earth is not doing okay. The whole
I don't think
earth.
I'll ever be whole again.
And I'm like, oh, we don't have time for this. And that's what I want to say to Joe, too. Like, right now, we don't have time for this.
Yeah.
But if we lose our day-to-day, we don't really have a show anymore. If we lose our actual characters and what it is they're going through and the triumphs and tribulations of it all, like...
It just stops the urgency of the episode for me.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I have a hard time with it, too. But I think that... We need to see these interpersonal relationships. We need to hear the dialogue that isn't just always about saving the world. So I know, I feel you. And I sometimes want to be like, just shake somebody and be like, this isn't about you.
Yeah.
It's about not just the world, the worlds.
Yeah. Right.
But I think that some shows are maybe more successful in portraying that when they're having these discussions, like when, like on like the 15-minute car ride to their destination in order to save the world, which like is like a, would be boring to watch. And they put it in there when they have downtime. But to like stop everything to do it, it just doesn't make sense. I think it makes more sense when it comes out of her like PTSD flashbacks or projections of Zoom. Mm-hmm. In the workplace. That makes more sense to me. But I don't know if it's CW. I don't know if it's the writing. I don't know, like, what. But it just doesn't gel for me.
Is that what you're chalking those up to? PTSD flashbacks?
Yeah. What do you guys think it is?
Did you think he was really there?
No, it was interesting because I wrote this down to ask you guys. I did write PTSD question mark. But then, I don't know. I thought about it. We saw it a few times. And we saw it getting bigger and bigger. Maybe he did something to her or has done something, or maybe she is, I don't think she's a metahuman, but maybe there's something going on. I don't know. I wouldn't just chalk it up to that so quickly.
I'm calling it PTSD right now because I don't have anything better to describe it. But I also think that when he said Kate and she said, don't call me that, I said, oh my God, he wants her to call her Killer Frost. But then it was Caitlin. I think that I know that she says, like, everything was taken from her. She says she did have a connection with Jay. This whole thing was Zoom. But I also wanted to say, like, you were kidnapped for about, like, 6 hours. And it was, like, a couple of days. But, like, I needed her to, like to... This sounds really harsh. But I needed her to worry about her feelings after we saved the world.
That's what I was just saying to you, though. Like, that again, it's the same problem that I was having. And I think we looked at each other a couple of times during the episode. And I do roll my eyes for a second when I hear people complaining. And I'm like... Come on, man.
Yeah.
But I would be in hysterics. Realistically, she's got to say something. She's in the lab with Cisco. He's like, are you... She's going every few minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? Maybe she's really seeing something. And even if she's not, still, the girl was kidnapped.
Yeah.
And her fiancé died. And then finally, she learns to love again. And then he's not who he says he was. And he's a lying... Not just a lot, you know, not just like the typical girls dealing with the liars. He's the biggest villain that's ever been, you know. You have to start questioning your own judgment, everything you're doing. Like, she is probably so confused. And then you have everybody worried that you're going to turn into Killer Frost. So it's like, you start questioning yourself and thinking, is this in me somewhere? Oh, my God. So I get it. It's a little annoying to watch, but I get it.
And to play devil's advocate, I have to think that had she had no issues whatsoever, I would have been like, yo, she was just kidnapped. Like, her fiancé died. Like, why is she, like, acting fine? Why is she not wearing her sweatpants or her hair up? Which we saw.
Yeah.
But
Jack in the chat reminds us, Caitlin's not ex-military. You know, I feel you. Nor am I. Come on. All four of us, we'd be like crying like little babies.
Yeah, me too.
And they maybe say, not Tari.
Yeah. I'm a stone cold ball again.
So when we follow Caitlin with Cisco to have like the standoff with Canary, and they're posing as Reverb and Killer Frost, cool idea, but what was
You caught that the second it happened.
Yeah.
I did not.
You're like, they're alive.
I looked at you guys and go, what? Jeff was like, it's Caitlin and Cisco. Yeah. I was like, oh, right.
No, but
I knew that.
It's logical that you would think that because, like, they just found out that she was at the building and then they got a she Caitlin was able to get a dye job.
It's a wig.
A wig. Like they completely.
That she just had.
Yeah, but they were completely prepared to get to change and then go there and, all on time.
And both characters are actors.
Apparently. Yeah. So
having
I mean,
not met the other one. Caitlin did. They did.
Here's the problem, though.
Tell me your problem. I'll tell you my problem.
How can your person be your doppelganger? Be the mirror image of you on all of the Earths.
Yep. That was my issue as well.
That makes none of the sense. You can't have a right-handed, left-handed, and then a third-handed?
Ambidextrous.
go to Earth 4.
They use their feet on Earth 4.
That doesn't make it, you know, that doesn't work.
Yeah,
I can't talk you out of that. You're right.
Yeah. So that bothered me, and it made me feel like they were saying that we only had two Earths, which we know is not true.
Yeah.
My problem was that this is a very serious upper-level villain, Black Siren. She's got crazy powers. She's angry. And, I was just laughing at a bad joke in my head that I decided not to say out loud.
I think now you have to.
No, I was, you know, like the trope of like an angry black woman. I was going to call her an angry black siren. So my problem was that they go to confront her dressed as Killer Frost and Reaver. They're not going to be able to hold it up forever. And yet their plan is just to, like, talk to her until, like, the thing vibrates and, like, sends her down. Like, what was the rest of their plan?
I think that was it.
Yeah, though...
Just stall.
I think like, if they were able to succeed in, like, getting her to turn on Zoom, that she would have been an amazing weapon. Like, I don't understand why she is even under Zoom, because if she could take out Barry that easily, then she could do the same to Zoom.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Yeah, that's definitely true. But also, because I'm focused on the scene still, I'm just all the questions are coming out. What was that Sisko did that he couldn't do again? What happened there?
Oh, he did the vibe blast.
Yeah, but he couldn't do it again.
Right.
Why? Because he just hasn't honed the craft yet?
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah.
Yo, Sisko's going cool places, yo. I love
him.
He's
going down.
And I'm sorry... For the first time ever, oh my God, I think I'm gonna get so much hate for this. Was anybody seeing Sisko and Caitlin flirt a little bit?
No. Absolutely not.
Did you think that because at the end, at the very, very ending, everyone was hooking up pretty much at the house and they're the only two who wasn't?
And I just felt like they were on the same page. And she's sitting there and she's talking to him. I feel like she's like, there's no one I can trust. But Sisko's a good guy, and he's, like, been totally screwed by girls, and he's like, there's no one I can trust. And I don't know, man. I don't know what I've been drinking, but that Kool-Aid, though, yeah.
Kisko.
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 Yeah, good.
Yes.
I got one.
All right, but I will let you guys know right now, because I'm sure it will come on the YouTube comments and the iTunes ones, too. Not one person agrees with me in the chat.
I'm shocked. Just kidding.
I'm not against it. It depends.
Yeah, that's a lot of no's we're getting. No.
It all depends on the vibes.
Right. No, it all depends.
On the vibes that they get.
Oh my God, we got a yes, huh?
Ooh.
Okay, tell me why Harrison Wells cannot create two working headphones.
Here's why. Here's what happened. He created headphones for humans, not for metahumans, for Earth 2 humans. She, as I'm suspecting, is a metahuman, Jessie. She just hasn't gotten...
Sure.
No, but his headphones worked on her.
No.
Yes.
Not really. But she was still in pain.
No, she's
after they went on.
She didn't pass out. He passed out. Mm. And she was okay.
She never was going to pass out. She wasn't passing. She was in pain and she was freaking out.
No, but when she got on. Yeah, but when she got his headphones, she didn't. She stopped.
She was only looking like she was sad because of him?
Yeah. She takes them off. He puts her headphones on her.
Well,
yeah.
That makes no sense then.
He just made a bad pair.
Well, yeah. I mean, they had to turn this around
really
fast.
Once it malfunctioned? That makes no sense to me then. I really don't know.
I think he, mega genius Harrison Wells, just made one faulty headphone.
But I was going with your side. When I first saw it, I was thinking that too. I was thinking it was metahumans, but when he put his headphones on her, I was like, oh, She's not. It's not having to do with her.
So does Jesse have a hunch that she might be like turning to a speedster since she had Caitlin like test her blood?
I think that's in her brain. I think she's guessing. She's feeling that.
This is so weird to me then because I really feel like I felt like I was really smart in the situation, but I guess I wasn't.
I still think you're very smart.
Thank you.
I think they're planning a lot of fake outs with her and Wally because I think the writers know that everyone's expecting them to get powers. There's always moments where we're just like,
way, though, that Beats by Wells, one of them worked and one of them didn't. I just don't believe that. We've got the smartest minds in...
Well, he was working fast.
I 100% agree that it doesn't make sense he would make a mistake, especially when it comes to his daughter's life. I think I would love to see a reason for this in the next episode.
Yeah, they have to justify it in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I do like the idea of it being her being a metahuman, and maybe like they cut it off before she had a chance to pass out or something. But like... Yeah, because ultimately, I don't think it serves the episode unless it just was a way of getting Harry out of the way for that moment.
You know, there's a good chance that they're just not going to become metas by the end of this season. There's a possibility.
Oh, definitely. You mean in the next one episode?
Yeah, I don't think they. I don't think like they were supposed to turn. I was expecting three speedsters fighting all of like. Having an army of metahumans was the perfect time to have three speedsters fighting
them. I don't think they need a rush to have that just because every other show
they do, Jeff.
Has like the entire task force fighting of like superheroes.
Well, here's how it's going to go down. they're going to kiss at the end of the season. There's going to be a spark between them, and both powers are going to... Jesse and Wally.
Yeah. That's actually a really good prediction.
No. Oh, my God. Do you think that the kiss is going to spark it?
Yeah, what if it ignites it? That's not a bad idea.
That's what happens when I kiss people.
Bananas.
Mm, all
they get
of them?
Speed Force.
Shh. No, I don't mean like that. Oh my God.
What do you know?
I know nothing.
Okay, speaking of kissing, they didn't kiss, but the West Allen let's start it, and she says, "Yeah, bro." They shake hands and they ride off into the sunset.
It feels like that.
I want to fight with somebody. We were talking beforehand in the hallway, and I won't say her name. She watches Arrow and Flash, and she said that she didn't think that Iris and Barry have chemistry, and I vehemently disagree. I think they have amazing chemistry.
Well, Roxy, go.
I'm West Allen for life. I've, like, completely...
I see all your tattoo. Yeah.
But here's my problem. Last week we got the cheek kiss. This week we finally have a conversation that we're going to try things, but there is no kiss.
Yes!
And now... We have Barry's dad who's dead, which, by the way, is not exactly the time you want to be making out with people. So I think that they've backed themselves into a corner a little bit here because if we see Barry and Iris hook up for the first time next week, people are going to say, he's grieving, this is too soon, he's dealing with... And I'm going to be like, shut up, internet, we've been building up to this for a long time. But if we don't see it, then we spent this season teasing us, only to prolong the potential inevitable. I don't like either scenario, so I'm having a hard time with this one.
I do not feel cheated about a kiss this episode because they're in the dining room, like, setting the table, surrounded by family and friends. You want to figure out your relationship one-on-one before...
Why would you say that? Why would you say, let's try to work this out, let's figure this out? Like, that's essentially asking somebody out in that scenario. Yeah. I would be like, hey, Iris, can I just talk to you for a quick second? If that's what I was going to do there.
Well, you know what? We only have 59 minutes of the episode, and so they need to hurry this up and do it where Zoom can then break in.
Give me kiss or give me death. They gave me death.
Okay. real quick about the kiss. My issue is... All right, the Flash fans are going to find this really... They're not going to like this one. But they're coming off more and more. And we're trying to get away from this, but they're coming off more and more brother-sisterly to me. Right. Every time they're about to kiss and they do something that a brother and sister would do, like, you know, instead they kiss on the cheek or they agree to date, but through verbal, affirmation, like, hey, by the way, we should start.
I disagree.
It's killing
it
for me.
Those are, like, mature things people discuss.
Who does that?
I agree with Jeff.
Thank you.
A girl that I've dated, I've never, like, looked at her and like, hey, before we kiss, we should give this a shot.
Okay, haven't had 3 years of history with her. Excuse me, 90 years of history. They grew up together.
Think about Rachel and Joey. Think about Friends for a second, because you know...
Ross and Rachel.
No, Rachel and Joey.
Okay, go.
didn't say it wrong. Rachel and Joey tried to date at one point, and they wanted to in their souls, they wanted to date, but they didn't, like, they couldn't kiss, they just couldn't get to it. They would giggle every time. And I feel you, because I want West Allen so bad, but every time they're near each other, I feel like if after 3 years you're gonna try this, grab her face and suck it so hard, like, that's what I'm looking for. Like, you're finally doing this, so freaking do it. Take her in the hallway, can I borrow you for a second, and just make out with her. I really want to give this a shot. Yeah,
but that's the, like, the TV way of doing things. And I think kind of what Jeff was getting at is that, like, they play things. Yeah,
sorry, party, that's just foul. For you, just you.
Okay. I feel like they are playing it like in a as they do with most Flash stuff, that it's taking place in a real world, and they don't like to lean on the tropes. And so, like, I think that they're definitely kind of taking it slow. And I do think that it would have been weird if they were just making out in, like, the back room, and everyone's like, come on, guys. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, I'm cool with them. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, please.
No, I'm cool with them not kissing yet, but the whole agreeing to date without kissing, without even seeing if there's a chemistry there, it feels very friendly.
They know they have chemistry because they've discussed it last episode, but also you have to be careful in this situation, because if one of them is not on the same page, then it messes up their entire relationship with their entire family, potentially. Mm. It makes every holiday interaction awkward since then.
Okay, I mean, so
they have to be careful.
That's valid. I hear you.
I just want to see it. I'm ready for it. They've teased us for so long. I'm ready for it. I want to see a makeout. And if we see it next week, I know there's going to be a problem. And I don't want there to be a problem, because I want people to get on the ship. So
I think if we get over the funeral really in the early, like, 5 to 7 minutes of the show, he saves the world. And then we get a kiss.
I also don't think it'll be a problem, because the first time they had their kiss was when essentially Joe was getting his legs broken. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was still a great pivotal moment. I mean, and there were other things to do at the time, but, like, they thrive under turmoil, at least their relationship does.
And that's what everybody's problem with it was. That's what people have an issue with. Like, are these people only meant to be together when they're at their lowest, which isn't true about them. And I don't... I think that it's a hard time to start a relationship after your dad has just been killed in front of you.
Yeah. You are correct, and as everyone knows, I am always correct. We're going to segue to some predictions before we get out of time. Falling into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Sound cue, go. Following, just like leading us into that, Wally did see that Barry Allen is the Flash.
An epic moment.
And that Cisco has visions.
Cisco's visions.
I know.
And that, like, Zoom is a part of this family. More or less. It wasn't a random thing. I have no prediction to follow that, but I'm interested to see how that affects him and changes things.
Well, my question would be, do you guys think that he's going to be upset with Barry for giving up his powers to save his life? Or do you think he'll be grateful? Like, how's that going to affect their relationship?
I think he's going to be mad at his dad. I think it's going to somehow turn to him and Joe having an issue, because Joe never told him.
I don't think the issue will be with him giving his powers for him. I think the issue will be, why did you guys not trust me enough to tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone else in that family knew.
Yeah. It might make him feel like an outsider again, and it might make him feel like he has to compete with Barry again. It's like, wow, now this guy, and he's the Flash, you know?
Yeah, I would like it if he was just like, yep, that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, I would, because...
You don't want to spend time on it?
Yeah, like, all signs pointed to it. Like, he was never around. Barry was never around when the Flash was there. Like, Wally was specifically targeted to get Barry to do, or the Flash to do something. So I want him to be like, oh, I get it now. How can we help him?
Yeah, they have the same body type. I get it.
Yeah.
I think that this show, like, goes back and forth. And, like, there's a suspension of belief, right? When he's talking to the police chief and he says, oh, Barry's right here. And he turns around and Barry walks in and the Flash is gone. You know, that is less successful to me, but it's all, and it's more successful when he is, like, disguising his voice and shaking and talking to his brother,
mm-hmm.
who should recognize him.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's where the comic book part of this all comes in.
Yeah.
Like, him running out and then running back in. That's outrageous.
Yeah, very Superman Clark
Kent-y. Come on, that's ridiculous. Yeah. But, all right, I'll let it fly.
Yeah, it's just, like, how much can he let fly? And speaking of fly, News and gossip. We saw that Supergirl's moving to CW. That's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, we can only 100% expect crossover.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's going down now.
Okay, what is your apprehension, Roxy?
Well, moving to the CW means that the budget's getting cut. And yes. Cutting the budget on a show with Martian Manhunter is a difficult thing to do. So I think that they're going to now make it... he's not going to be shape-shifting as much. I'm not sure exactly what we're going to see. I love Supergirl. I love the CW. I love Flash. I love Arrow. I want people to keep in mind that they are not on the same Earth. So in order to get to Supergirl, we have to do some things. There's not going to be the same kind of crossover as there is with Flash and Arrow. And people who don't watch Supergirl, I don't think that they're understanding what exactly it means that it's coming to the CW. So in theory, CW rocks at this kind of stuff, and I think that they'll make a great home for it. But actually, when you're losing your money, when you're not exactly crossing over with everything, and when the show is kind of in a different tone than the other shows, I'm curious to see what they do with it. I'm excited that at least it's getting a second season.
Yes, but look at how totally different Arrow and Flash are.
That is true.
And they still work.
No, right. That is true, but you're talking about two shows on the same Earth.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
I would say that, like, I think that, I mean, because we see what The Flash does with its budget, and it does a really great job. Their VFX team is amazing. And
yeah.
So I think that they can still pull it off, they being Supergirl. And also, like, if my prediction of, like, the Earths converging, that being Zoom's plan, then that means that multiple Earths could be involved in this, which would allow a bridge between Supergirl and The Flash.
Very true, and could be very cool. Could be very cool. We're not going to do that yet until we get the movies on board with everything.
I don't think you can converge so much for, like, to make, like, two shows better able to cross over. I just don't foresee, like, that becoming a plot point in, like, in all these multiple shows.
No, I think we definitely could.
I don't think that's a priority.
I think we definitely could. I think that the thing that will help all of this, all of the problems I'm having with it, all of the questions I have, is if we cut the shows down by the episodes that maybe we will.
And they've already talked about the budget for Supergirl being a big dilemma in the CW, and I think that the best way to do that is to make it, you know, less episodes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of people in the chat are saying there will be no budget cuts for Supergirl.
It's impossible.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, I don't, it's just fascinating that CW is becoming like the DC TV show network.
I'm with it. Nick, can you imagine the crossovers? Like, you can have an Arrow, Flash, Supergirl crossover. That'd all three insane. Of them.
Legend.
In a special 4-day miniseries or something. That's crazy. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it could be. And that show definitely deserved a second season, especially after the cliffhanger we got from season one.
Oh, yeah.
I would have lost it if we didn't get a season two. So I'm so happy it is returning.
Yeah, I love them. And I think that Melissa Benoist and Grant have amazing chemistry.
Yeah, definitely.
Does anybody have any specific predictions coming up for the finale next week?
That funeral, though. Tears.
I don't know.
No, that was it.
We just see the race. I'm interested to see what Tari said about, like, the race being a catalyst for something else.
Yeah. Like, I definitely think it's a trick. Like, it's got it, like, that, especially since we see that big giant circle, which we can assume is probably a portal. I think that Zoom's going to be like, we're going to race and whoever's fastest will survive, blah, blah, blah. But then that will be generating the energy to push the two Earths together, and Barry will realize that he's made a huge mistake.
So you think it's a trick on Zoom's part, not on Barry's part?
Right.
I was thinking the opposite.
Interesting.
But that makes sense, too. Because I feel like Barry would read through that if Zoom was like, race me. I don't think Barry would. I think that if Barry was like, Zoom, race me, I don't think he can turn down a challenge.
Right.
I wouldn't
know. So if the team set them up somehow.
I want to know what the reason is for the race that they tell each other. Because it's not just like whoever gets to the finish line, like, we'll just, like, give each other a shot and we'll call it a day. You know, it's got to be a reason for this race.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would imagine that Zoom gives the caveat. He's like, all right, we'll try to settle this in a blood-free manner. I'll race you. We'll find out who's the fastest, and if you're the fastest, then I will leave this Earth forever.
And you think Barry would believe that?
I don't think he would let it happen. I don't think he's a hero. He wouldn't let him terrorize another Earth, start afresh. Well,
like, go back to Earth. Yeah, you're right. Maybe.
Well, maybe he does, and maybe that's why we see Earth 2 falling apart.
It's true.
To see. Did we ever see whatever happened to Harrison Wells in this episode after he went down?
No, but they said he's going to be okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if that means he is. I mean, major twist, could totally be Wells's funeral we're at, and Barry's dad could be alive.
But we saw Barry pretty upset, crying.
We did, but, you know, that would be the swerve of the year. That would be crazy. Yeah. If, like, he's handing him, like, on his heart, and then he, like, restarts it and lets go, and is like, look how close this could have come. But Wells is actually dead? That would be nuts. I haven't read any of the blogs yet, so I'm probably wrong, but...
That would be a lot. Oh, wow. And we are out of time. Roxy, we're going to really find you until next time.
You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer.
You can find me at Tari J, T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Michael_DrewMichaelEAL.
And I tweet from Jeff Masters 1. We'll see you for the finale next week. Good night.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.